Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more. Hosted by Duchess and Sh.
Hosted by Duchess and Sh. Hey, listening family, how you doing today? I'm really, really, really glad, and I want you to know I'm so happy to be here. Oh, I've been doing these early voting. Early voting started in September the 23rd for Virginia, the state of Virginia. I work at the Board of Elections Office, volunteer. And yes, we're volunteer, but we're paid volunteers. They give us a stipend for working there. The hours are long. I've been getting up like, wow, 6 o'clock in the morning so I can be awake when I get there. I get there around 8. I don't have to check in until 8:15. But it's a long day because it's standing and sitting and walking and sitting and standing and walking. And my back is not the best in the world, and neither are my feet. And because I'm retired, I mean, I don't get around the way I used to. And then, of course, I had a little stent issue in my ureter, and that didn't make me feel like doing much of anything but just laying around on the couch. So needless to say, that was removed the 14th of September. I'll share a little teeny bit about that in a minute. But let's go back to the voting. I really enjoy going there when I have to go there. I mean, I do a lot of walking and it's strenuous stuff. But I enjoy the people, and I have fun with the people that I'm working with. And you wouldn't believe that we're all balanced out by party. So you don't know who's a Democrat, who's a Republican, who's an independent, because the chief who is running the supervisor knows who each one of us is, because we have to be paired off in a balanced way when we do any of the jobs if they're assigning two of us to do the job together. So the only way you know what another person is if they're assigned to work with you and you know what you are, so you automatically kind of figure. But we don't think about that stuff. But that's how we know that things are working smoothly and they're balanced, and people are getting along irregardless to what their situation is, or what their selection is. When I work in the poll book, and the poll book is when you check in people in, you have some very friendly people. You have some not so friendly people. You have some people that bounce in there all lively because they can early vote and they don't have to wait till the 8th for election day and there's no lines to stand in. Then we do a big old clap out for first-time voters. If we figure out a young person, this is their first-time voter, or even a mature person is their first-time voting. You know, maybe they just got their citizenship or something. For whatever reason, it's their first-time voting. And we give a loud shout, woo, 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 and clap, you know, clap, clap, clap for them also. And that's a lot of fun. And then we have a backdrop in the hallway where the parents, if they're with their parent or their friends, they can go. And when they leave, and in the lobby, there's a backdrop that says, I voted today, or I early voted. You know, it's just a nice atmosphere. Sometimes you can see parents coming in with their children, first-time voters, and they're really all excited and happy about them being there. And then you have some parents that come in there with their young people. And, you know, you get the impression that this child either didn't want to vote, or they're being forced to vote for somebody they didn't want to vote for. And the parent is just hovering over them and hovering over me to see what is the problem. Is there a problem over here? You know, I had a young man who I was scanning him in. Most of our Virginia DMV driver's license and DMV ID cards, we can scan in and the voter's name comes right up on our screen. And it just so happens that some of them, they're either new or for whatever reason, we try to scan them in, they don't scan in. So we have to put them in manually. And just so happened that day, my computer was running very slow for the type-in process. I mean, it was taking like a long time. I had to apologize to the young man about how long it was taking me to get him through, you know, because I can't give him a ballot till he shows up on my screen. I could see his eyes were downcast, and it was like he seemed a little stressed, and I apologized to him for how long it was taking. And all of a sudden, here comes this big, burly, obnoxious man towering over the kid and me, wondering, is there a problem over here? And I look up at this guy. No, we don't have a problem. But now I could see that the kid was embarrassed because he knew there was no problem. He knew it was my computer taking its slow time to process him in. And so after I finally got him, his ballot was printing out. You know, I asked him, was he okay? Are you all right? And he shook his head kind of sadly, but he shook his head that he was okay. And I'm working in the county office, and we have 11 different ballots that print out of our printers because we're covering every single town and city in the county. Okay, so on election day, there's only one ballot coming out that you're going to be handed because that's the ballot of your district. But when you got 11 districts, so to speak, you know, it takes a while for someone, especially if we have to type in the name of the individual. But I enjoy working there. I really do. One of the problems we do have, you know, you get a husband and wife or mother and child, father, child. They get in there where the booths are, and they don't realize they're not allowed to communicate with one another. Once they have that ballot in hand and they go over to their booth, you can't be looking over the booth and trying to make sure that they know what. You should have discussed that before you even walked into the building and checked in and got your ballot. And one gentleman, usually a man boy, I can talk to my son if I want to. And, you know, I said, but you can't. Well, he's my son, and the chief had to come over and tell him, sir, will you please leave the voting area? You're done voting? Time for you to leave. You got to walk out of here. There's no discussing, so we don't care if you're in there with your son, daughter, mother, father. Unless you sign a need assistance form, then you're not allowed to talk to somebody else that's voting. You'd be surprised how many husbands and or wives, mothers and or fathers dictate who the person they're with has to vote for. You know, it's like a demand. You're going to vote for who I want you to vote for or else. That's why it's not even allowed. You're not even allowed to communicate with them. So I'm looking at the news these days. I'm looking at the entitlements going on. You know, people upset because of the economy and groceries are getting higher and, you know, they don't price gas prices. You know what? People will find anything to complain about. All my life, when I was growing up, when the prices changed, we just adapted. We didn't complain about it. I mean, I remember when a loaf of bread was 25 cents. You think I'm going to complain about it because it's $6? I see this man with the guitar on the bread, you know, playing his little music. And I went in there, I said, I'm going to try that bread. You know, that bread was $6. I guess I won't be trying it. I'm not going to complain about the bread being $6. Somebody can afford to buy $6 bread. They can go ahead and buy $6 bread. If I really wanted that bread, I would have put up $6 to get the bread. You know, but it's like I don't feel like paying $6 just to see how a loaf of bread tastes. Yeah, and I'm finding that people, they're just so, they feel so entitled that things should be the way they want it to be. Well, that's not the way life is. I look at these people who are upset. I mean, literally, PO'd because the current president said he's going to do forgiveness loans for scholarships, forgiveness on some of the loans for scholarships. I paid my whole scholarship. I'm not complaining or want to begrudge somebody that can get a little relief from theirs because I know how hard it was to pay mine. It took me almost 15 years to get rid of that bad boy, okay? But I got rid of it. If somebody else's child can get rid of it just like that, or you can get rid of your student loan, so thank, you know, be blessed. I have one child, one, that got scholarships in excess of, I think, $20,000, and I think he was the only one of us that came out of college paying very little in the way of student loans. But those loans are a mess, and if you can get some relief from them, well, I consider that a blessing for you, and I will not begrudge you that blessing, you know? There's no way in the world I want to begrudge somebody something just because it wasn't there when I was having to suffer through it. It's like, you know, give me a break. So everybody's been asking me about that stent that I had. Well, the stent was removed and CAT scan was taken. I got the results of the CAT scan. And my kidney is still beginning to swell. It's beginning to swell. So that stent didn't do much of anything except make me miserable for 6 weeks and let me know that the stent was not any help. So with that, I haven't even talked to the urologist about what's going to happen because I read the CT scan report myself. And what I surmise, not being a doctor, but what I surmise in reading it, is that the ureter, which is the tube that goes from my kidney to my bladder, and my bladder is not, and it, the kidney is not able to release enough into the bladder through the ureter, beginning to kind of sort of back up. The ureter is right next to my colon. And 20 years ago, I had a colon resection. So what I'm surmising as I read the CAT scan, when it says that there's a fistula or, you know, some soft tissue there, is that there's some soft tissue connecting my ureter and my colon. And that soft tissue and the colon is strangling my ureter. So I went and made an appointment with my colorectal surgeon to find out which one of y'all is going to fix this. So I've had three choices, you know, either lose a kidney, run around with a sack with a hole in my back and draining my kidney for the rest of my life, or just having some major surgery with two surgeons in the room, the colon surgeon and the kidney surgeon in the room together, as they go through the scar tissue that's strangling my ureter. So with that said, I still haven't talked to the urologist, but we'll see. One of my coworkers at the early voting station, she was took a half day off from the job. I had the whole day off. No, I took the whole day off, and she took half day off to go with me to the appointment to talk to my colon surgeon. He did surgery 20 years ago, so that's his work that's in me, so I figured he would be the best one to go in. She went with me, and she claimed she was amazed. I don't understand how calm you are about this whole mess. She said, I would be freaking out, and I told her, there's no need for me to freak out. If there's nothing that I can do by freaking out to change it. So that's where I'm at now. Que sera, sera, whatever will be. The future is not ours to see. Que sera, sera, you know? And there I am with that. So with that update on all of the issues going on in my life, let's finish out with what Lena has to say for the month of October. Then we go into what Cryon has to say, the message, and then we'll finish out with October's 10th step of recovery, the principles of the 10th step in recovery from our recovery peeps. All right, so we're here at the 23rd. Let's talk about the 24th to the 30th. This is the closeout on Nina's information on October being a tumultuous transition. Now, I've had my fill of tumultuous transitions for the month of October. I don't know how any of you doing, because I don't hear from you unless I hear from you. And you can write to me about anything you would like to write to me, complain if you want to. I'm at duchessontheair@gmail.com. So that's DUCHESSONTHEAIR, Duchess on the Air, okay? And you can get in touch with me and let me know what you think. But Lena Stevens, Power Path, says, starting tomorrow and the end of the month, we will be entering a window of extreme volatility and possible upheaval. Wow, that was a mouthful. We have an eclipse cycle beginning on the 25th that will increase the pressure of change and transition. There will be a healthy, grounded spiritual practice. Well, any healthy, grounded spiritual practice will be helpful during this time to keep you balanced and anchored on your own personal path. So whether it's your Bible, your Quran, whether it's meditation, whether it's yoga, whether it's going to have some Reiki work done, some energy work done. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have some energy work done on me Tuesday evening. She does it remotely. Her name is Reverend Ada Gutierrez. If you want to know more about her, you can send me an email once again, duchessontheair@gmail.com. Excuse me, I'll be able to give you hers because she does phenomenal work and she doesn't even have to be living in the same state as you, because I saw her work on my mother. She was in her state of Maryland and my mother was in New York City. And it is phenomenal to watch it work. So please find the courage to engage in what you need for your own personal transformation. Stay out of conflict and be mature and responsible for what you can change in your own life. So stay out of other people's lives. Stay on your side of the street. Forgive the past and accept what you cannot control as you allow others to be in their own process, okay? Because you don't have to hang around with them while they're going through their stuff. You can go find something else to do. Go take yourself to the movies or something. The greatest opportunity this month is for personal transformation. But it will take patience, perseverance, trust, stress management, and a willingness to endure some discomfort. On the 25th, that will be new moon and partial solar eclipse as good old Scorpio, October's good old eclipse in good old Scorpio. So October the 25th at about 4:48, Lena Stevens lives in Mountain Daylight Time. More of this new moon eclipse will be sent as a Power Path new moon update to our mailing list. And I'm on the mailing list. If you want that mailing list, once again, that's duchessontheair@gmail.com. Okay? So the Power Path has some good gems for you to catch up on if you go to their powerpath.com website. Let's get on with Cryon. Good old Cryon. I love Cryon. I love Cryon so much that I could listen to Kryon, and you've got to listen to Kryon. I mean, I can't give it to you the way Kryon can give it to you in that voice that comes through Lee Carroll. That voice is amazing. Even, dear ones, I am Kryon of Magnetic Service. I love Kryon. So let's see what Kryon has to say. Greetings, dear ones. I am Kryon of Magnetic Service. It seems as though the subject of the day is about things that perhaps you can reframe in your mind, and perhaps were not given to you fully. There is so much hiding. Hiding because it hasn't been exposed yet, or you haven't been aware of it. And yet, it's always been there. Like a child who grows up breathing air, and then one day he studies what it is. He took it for granted, and nobody told him about the molecules in the air, where they came from, and the symbiotic relationship with the rest of the planet. It was just air. He breathed it. There are many things like this. I'm going to give you a metaphor today, and it's one that some of you, most of you, will understand and have seen. You'll understand also as we go what the metaphor eventually is about and what it means. We have done the circle of 12. Now, if y'all want to know what the circle of 12 is, y'all might want to go to kryon.com and find, click circle of 12 and begin to listen to some of these channelings. So you were given the circle of 12. We're going to do it again today. And what this circle of 12 actually is about is you discovering the bigger you. Even religious leaders, spiritualists, have put God on one side of the veil and you on the other. And there are all kinds of processes that be that somehow then allow you to touch the face of God in some way that is not here. It's across the veil. And the circle of 12 is one of the first times, and the circle of 12 is one of the first times I have given you a metaphor that continues and tries to show you that actually it's right in front of you. That veil is actually the bridge between you and the bigger you, which is your soul. Now, some of you will say, well, what does that have to do with the veil between us and God? And I'll tell you, your soul is part of the creative source, a major part. If you can touch that which is your soul, you are in the space that mostly is on the other side of the veil, a multidimensional space where, like angels and guides and the love of spirit, is right next to you all of the time. And we've given you this example over and over and over. That really, truly spirit sits on your lap. But that hasn't been the paradigm, has it? So let me show you something. I want you to visualize with me something that most of you have seen. That visualization would have a number of nested boxes. Now, sometimes you will see this, depending on your culture, in decorative boxes that are nested. One smaller, you open one, there's another one, it's smaller, open one, there's another one. Sometimes it's like eggs that are made and manufactured. One egg is bigger, you go and open it, it is smaller, And they're all decorative and they're all beautiful. So visualize that for a moment because you've seen it. When you get to the smallest one, it's so cute. It's fun. Wow. I went through scent. I went through 10 of those to get to this cute little guy. I wonder if he knew he was really in there, if he could talk. So visualize. So here is the first part of this metaphor. The little box, the little one nested in there, all put together with all of them assembled, that little one is you. You have no awareness of the box around you. It's in the dark, of course. And if somebody told you there was a bigger box you were in, you would go, I'm not really sure. I'm not sure that you're right. But if there is, the veil and God is on the other side. Well, then they'd say, well, not exactly. There's a bigger box around that. What could that mean? These nested boxes are an awareness. They are boxes of awareness. And we have told you all along that the biggest one, the one that God sees, is the one that I see, is a real you. The little one is the nested you. And here is the invitation, and it was always there. We want you to understand that as you start to accept what I am telling you, perhaps instead of what others have told you is the limit of your spirituality or your thinking, is simply surrounded by another box. We have talked about peeling the onion of your reality where you start to peel it and find the core you. This is the opposite. I'm talking about release. How many of you are willing to say, dear spirit, if there is a bigger box that I'm in, then show it to me, please. And that awareness alone starts to disappear the internal boxes. You might have 10 nested boxes and suddenly you've got 3 because you're so much aware of the love of God, of the tools that you have as a human being, that the energy of Gaia is alive and well, and that you actually are in control of your reality. You've just dismissed 3 or 4 of those boxes. Now, what are those boxes? They're what you've been told. Every single one of them represents represents that which you have been told that you are. It isn't just inaccurate, dear ones. Some of it was on purpose. Some of it also was the best that humans had in that moment. But it all told the story of a great big God and a very small you. That part was correct, but not connection. A wall between you. That's what you were taught. If you are involved, perhaps, and invested in some of that which is the organized spiritual systems of the planet that they tell you or they will tell you right away, you're small, you're not supposed to be able to touch the face of God, you're not worthy, and so they have all manner of rules that will then help you be worthy of at least come to God, not filled with unworthiness, and you start listening to them. What do they ask you to do? What if I told you those were boxes? Those were boxes which keeps you from seeking the big one. And you start disappearing them and disappearing them. You get to that place and you say, what if I could cross the bridge into the real big one? And that one is the soul. Now, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about this metaphor, which is magic. As you start to then dissolve the boxes around you, you become the box around you. You get bigger. So a nested set of 10 boxes, a nested set of 5, because the box in the middle is starting to dissolve. The boxes around are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And now you've got perhaps just one. Welcome to the circle of 12. So if you follow this, here you are, a much bigger box nested in one other. There is the soul of the human, which is the big one, and you. The one that's in 3 dimensions that you know well, but you're very close and you can feel it. You've dismissed all the limiting things that you've been told, and here you are. And I wet my whistle. Here you are. Suddenly you're crossing that bridge. That bridge is something we'll do probably today if you go to the circle of 12. If not, you'll be able to do it every day on Wednesday at the circle of 12. And we've done it for almost 100 episodes. All the time, this has been the metaphor of you touching the bigger box. But more than touching it, what happens to you, we're going to talk about now. When you cross the bridge, that 3-dimensional box is dissolved temporarily. You have to live in 3D. That's who you are. But it doesn't mean that you can't meld with the bigger one or go there any time you want. Crossing the bridge, going back and forth, finding out some of the most beautiful things that Spirit, the Creator, has for you. Basking in the love that has always been there without rules, without things you have to do to deserve it. And you start to understand the real picture. The actual core truth is this. God is in love with you and created you in love and has given you free choice to find that. Not a bunch of rules that say that you're not supposed to. Not a bunch of rules that say you're unworthy. Not a bunch of rules that say that you're doomed as you're born. That was never, ever the core truth. That's the humans making their truth apply to you. That's all human stuff, dear ones. That's humanism 101. Punishment, reward, bad, good, all of those things have nothing to do with the love of the Creator for you. So, here you sit and stand perhaps on the bridge. Perhaps you finally understand that bigger box is you and in alliance with the Creator, your soul. That is the truth. Anytime you want, the Creator has its hand outstretched saying, why don't you come to the bigger box for a while? Visit your soul for a while. And sooner or later, they meld together, so every day of your life, you're walking between and inside until they meld together, and that is called ascension. This is where you are right now in the scheme of this planet. You might say in the planning that you set up a long time ago before you got here. What if this was all true? I want you to sit and feel that love I am telling you about. Tonight, a little later, we can go across that bridge. Client says, he'll take you there again. And so it is. There you go. What about that? You know, I have those days when I really feel that saying that they say, you know, that they said that Jesus said, I am in this world, but not of this world. You know, and there are a lot of us that just walk through this world. And we know doggone well that we see things so totally different, that we're in this world, but we know beyond a shadow of doubt, we're not of this world. None of us are really of this world. Remember, we happen to be spiritual beings having a human experience. So we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're just, doing this thing that we do through this physical form. And it's amazing sometimes when you just kind of let it go. The other day I was thinking to myself, oh my gosh, you know, I've gained weight. I need to lose some weight as I was going to sleep. This is my thought. I got to lose some weight because I'm gaining weight and it's really not good for all the things that I'm getting ready to face in the next couple of months, you know, with this health stuff going on. And then I woke up the next morning and I was getting ready for work and I was listening to the news. And then all of a sudden I sat down and I was, I think, putting lotion on, and it pops up on the news. They're interviewing this lady in Loudoun County. I live in Loudoun County. And she was talking about this new program that's over here at the medical building, and it's called Physicians Wellness, the Physicians Wellness Center. And what does the Physicians Wellness Center do? It's for wellness center for overweight issues. So you have nutritionists over there. They have a dietitian over there. You have the doctors and you have the physician's assistants over there. And what they'll do is they give you an assessment of your whole workup. You know, so it's amazing how if you allow yourself to believe yourself, you'll think things, and if you're aware, you'll know. You'll know. It'll just plop right down into your lap. And people say, you think it's going to come out of the sky, just fall down in my lap, blah, blah. Yes, it does do that, you know, but you've got to believe that it does that. And I believe that it does that because it happens to me all the time. So with that said, I probably got a lot more to say because I enjoy talking. Let's do the principles. Let's do. This is the 10th month, and this is for my recovery people. You read the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, the 12 steps of addictions, or most recovery programs use the 12 steps of these. This program. One. We admitted we were powerless over our addictions and our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our wills and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Now, it's really amazing. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and she was saying how she had done something wrong. And she hadn't settled up with it yet, and she kept passing by and seeing what she had done wrong, but she just hasn't gone in and taken care of it. And so I was laughing at her, and I was saying, you know what, you're admitting, you're doing step five right now. You're admitting to God, to yourself, and to another human being the exact nature of your wrongs. You do realize that, don't you? I said, now, so once you get rid of those, you become entirely ready to have God remove this shortcoming, this character defect of yours of not going in there and settling that thing and asking him to remove your shortcomings. I said, because you're very close to making the list of this person you committed a harm to. That would be eight. Now, the final step would be to make direct amends to that person wherever possible. Of course, she'll come to that when she wants to, because step 10 means to continue taking personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So she's taking her inventory. So what's the principle of that particular step? The principle of that particular step is vigilance. Some people prefer to use this step and refer to the principle as perseverance, steadfastly, maintaining your purpose in spite of discouragement, obstacles, and difficulties. That is also an excellent description of successful recovery. By the time you reach the 10th step, you will be feeling a justifiable feeling of accomplishment at your progress. Unfortunately, it is far too easy to become complacent. A lax attitude often leads to a return to a dangerous behavior and dangerous thoughts. After all, old habits die hard. But keep this in mind, unhealthy thoughts and behaviors lead to relapse. Vigilance means constant self-appraisal, where you repeatedly examine your thoughts, your feelings, your motives, and your actions to make sure that you are not harming others or yourself. It means never letting your guard down, ever. But it also means to persevere, to continue working your recovery program even when it is hard. It means taking it one day at a time and one step at a time. Sometimes it might even mean taking it 5 minutes at a time and repeating a step over and over. Whichever prevailing principle concept you to subscribe to, vigilance or perseverance, it is important that you consciously choose to let it guide your actions. Please don't allow your progress to undermine your focus, and don't permit any temporary difficulty to lessen your resolve. Recovery is a lifetime work in progress, and you will find yourself revisiting these steps and these principles multiple times. And it's true, because this woman I was talking to, she has 25 years in her recovery, and so she's still trying to figure out if she's going to make these amends for something that she did. And then she was telling me, she asked me, so, tell me something. If you're walking down the street, and you found $20,000, that's what she said, $20,000, and you found $20,000, what would you do? And I said, she said, would you keep it? I said, yeah, I'd keep it. I said, because, yeah, I think it was a blessing. I said, but if when I got home and I looked at the news and I found out the name of the person that lost it, then I would no longer consider that a blessing. I would begin to consider it a test, you know, of who I am, you know. So I probably would give it back. So we had these little discussions all the time because I have taken money back when I was given too much change. Some people would not. They feel like, oh, well, they gave me the. But to me, I worked as a cashier. I know that person's drawer would be short if I kept the money. So I don't have a problem taking it back, you know, and saying, here, you overpaid me. You gave me too much change. And there's honesty and then there's honesty. And I'm one of those people whose karma is swift. I can't do anything wrong because I get kicked in the butt by karma. I've gotten to the point where there were times when I would say, I remember I was working for the Tenants Association at the Housing Authority. I was the president of the Tenants Association. And people would always be coming in there, you know, to the Board of Tenant Affairs because they hadn't paid their rent and they were behind and they were about ready to be evicted and so on and so forth. And one day I was talking to the housing manager and I said, I can't understand this. I cannot understand when you get your money, your rent is the first thing you pay. You take that off the top. I don't understand how these people can just not pay their rent off the top. Well, you know, as soon as I open up my mouth and I say something like that, the universe has a way of showing me how that can happen. And I happen to be going across the bridge to go to from Rhode Island to New York. And I had to go down there for a medical reason. And as I'm crossing the bridge, I realized I didn't have any brakes. I had to turn my car around. I had to go to the mechanic and come to find out the master cylinder of my car had gone out. So that meant that I had to use my rent money in order to pay for the brake job for me to get across the bridge. So, you know, I never say I don't understand how so-and-so can't do so-and-so and so that I think they should be able to do, because the universe has a way of showing me exactly how it could happen. And I remember once I was in the house and I was walking around and I was complaining and fussing. And I said, you know what? Things just can't get any. And I shut my mouth up immediately because I knew, yes, they can get worse. So don't even put it out there, because the universe will show you how much worse it can be if you think it can't get any worse. Okay. So, like I say, my karma is swift. And so I have to be careful what I say out my mouth. And with that, how would you all like me to pull a card for you before we close? 8, 3, 4. Let me see. Let me get a card for you. I got it. Trying to decide which deck to pull, and sacred geometry just jumped out at me. So how about we do one of those? Okay, get your little thinking caps on, send me some vibes, and we'll pull a card for you from sacred geometry. I like the sacred geometry oracle deck. Okay, let's talk about the echoes of one, the greater whole. This card is symbolic rejoining of male and female energies. It uses the concept of two whole individuals joining or birthing into a dynamic oneness. This new creation is not male or female dominated, but a prayer of balance for a greater whole. In each relationship, a dynamic exists that determines the balance of love and power within that friendship or partnership. We are moving from an age where power has been seen as dominance over others in order to attain specific goals, But that money, national security, or simply getting the job done. This is the old paradigm. As we enter the Aquarian age, this relationship to power will manifest as co-creation and become power to, not power over. This evolution will take place in individuals who make a conscious choice to cultivate shared power and cooperation. This card challenges you to observe relationships in your present life and to ask yourself if they exist in the old manner of power as dominance and manipulation, or if you are learning to cultivate shared visions for your future and the power to create a divine oneness. Alhamdulillah, that looks like what we're facing around the whole entire earth these days, you know? Dominance and manipulation, or, you know, shared power of cooperation. It's amazing how these cards work. Well, with that, folks, family, I guess that's all I have to say for now. I'll see you first Sunday of November. And hopefully all that stuff that I said at the beginning about all the health things that I'm going, maybe some of that stuff will be resolved by then. But in the meantime, you know, I say the serenity prayer, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And in that vein, it keeps me pretty peaceful about all the stuff that's going on and humming around me and the stuff that I'm having to endure and face. Keeps me pretty mild-mannered. Take care. Love to everyone. And stay blessed. Love you.
pumpkin. How you doing? Did you have a good one?
I was never assigned that Monday, and
for Monday. I will double sign up.
Okay. All right. I was wondering because John Ray and I were kind of looking, trying to get like a schedule together for tomorrow. Just kind of help Nina out a bit. And I didn't see you, and I was like, are you sure she's not working? And John Ray said, no, she's not on the schedule. And I was like, okay.
No, I come in tomorrow. I come in Tuesday. Tuesday half day. I'm going to work.
Okay. All right.
So if y'all want to get scheduled for in the morning, y'all can put me on that damn code book. As long, the only thing that I cannot do for a duration of time is greeter. Because if the line is out all the way down the hall, I can't stand that long.
Right.
So that's the only thing that I can't do long term. I can leave somebody while they run to the bathroom and all that. But I cannot stand, I start having pain. So at least with Scanner, I can stand up, walk around, sit down. Same way with Lobby, stand up, walk around, sit down. And I can do Greta, stand up, walk around, sit down, as long as there's no line. And I have to constantly be on my feet for a long duration of time.
Right, right. Well, I don't know.
Thank you.